This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
تفضل شيخ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا وطيبا مباركا فيه. صلوات الله وسلامه على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد. We come now, inshallah, to hadith number 19 in the book, The Call, The Dawah, and The Du'at. That was authored by our Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid Al-Athari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, rahmatan azeema, inshallah. And today's hadith is a tremendous hadith as it relates to people who are giving dawah and what we're giving dawah to. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Haqqul Muslim ala Muslim sit." The rights that a Muslim has over his Muslim brothers and sisters are six. And went on to mention the six of them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, from these six rights, إذا لقيه سلم عليه وإذا دعاه أجابه وإذا استنصحه نصحه وإذا عطس وحمد الله يشمته وفي الرواية يسمته وإذا مرض عاده وإذا مات أتبعه. There are six things. Number one is that if a Muslim meets his Muslim brother, he gives him salams. Number two, if he invites you, you answer the invitation for some food or visitation. Number three, if he seeks your advice, your nasiha, then you should advise him with sincerity, with ikhlas. Number four, if he sneezes and says, Alhamdulillah, after sneezing, then you should say to him, Yarhamakullah. Number five, if he becomes sick, then you should visit him. And number six, if that individual were to die, then you should follow his janazah. This hadith says that the haqq of the Muslim on the Muslim is six, but in reality, it's more than six. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to mention specific things and take them out of something that has, it has a lot of, the issue has a lot of things connected to it. All of them are important. All of them are from the huquq. But he mentions these six because they are like more important. They're the vital ones, the real vital ones that can't be trampled upon. It can't be played with. The scholar said concerning that statement, haqqul muslim, al-muslim, haqq means the thabit. The thabit, the thing that's there, the thing that is there, his haqq is there. So these six are what is thabit muta'akkid, all of these things. But he has more rights than these six. He has the right that you love for him what you love for yourself. He has the right that you have to help him when he is oppressed and when he is oppressor. So right now, our brothers in Afghanistan, they have rights over us that were not mentioned in this hadith. So the point here is, these six are vital. And if a person is giving dawah like myself, or any imam, you people are giving dawah on the internet, you're giving dawah to people you know, your relatives, you help with people in the neighborhood, in the city, you're giving dawah in city center. Anybody who's giving dawah, this book is The Dawah and the Du'at. What is your dawah to? Are you calling to your own maslaha, your madhab, your jama'ah, your afkar, your imam, all that kalam farid that's going to make me your enemy and you my enemy? Because the thing that's going to bring us together is the deen. What I eat, what I like, what's beneficial for me may not be in your best interest. So if you're trying to make the tahqiq of your best interest, I'm trying to make the tahqiq of mine, we're never going to come together. And that's the condition of the Muslims today. On an international level, kullu, Everybody looking out for their own self. And that's our situation locally, except for the people that Allah had rahmah for. But what's really disturbing is that you find the religious people, the multazimeen, from all of these jama'at and madhahib, Salafi, Ikhwani, Sufi, Tablighi, you find the ones who practice it and they have intima to all of these groups. All of them religiously divide amongst themselves while claiming that the haqq is with them. No. All of these groups are not permissible to be upon. We're supposed to be Muslims on the kitab and the sunnah, understanding them and practicing them the way those companions did, without all these unnecessary names that are dividing people. So as it relates to this issue, the one who was given dawah will find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in these six things that he mentioned, he was an example in doing them. The prophets and the messengers used to say in the Quran, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفُكَ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ أَنْهُ. I don't want to tell you to do something and I'm doing something else. He's telling us the six huquq of a Muslim and he's going against them. I'm giving the dawah, I'm giving the khutbah. And these six, I'm going against all six. But I'm going to raise the flag. I'm salafi, I'm practicing, I'm on the Ya akhi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. We're using this religion to play games. Now I'm going to explain these six, inshallah. But the first one, I'll take a little bit more time because it's so important. These six things. There's a hadith similar to this. Sahih al-Bukhari, a Muslim. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, a Muslim. This hadith is muttafaq alayh. Imam al-Bukhari mentioned five, and Imam Muslim mentioned six. So one narration of the hadith is that khamsun haqqun ala kulli Muslim, and it went on, only five. But this one is mentioned in six. So the first one that he mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is as-salams, giving salams. Rasulullah said about the salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ifshu salam taslamu. Spread the salams and you'll be safe. You'll be safe. You'll be safe from what? The ulama of Islam said, the marad, what he meant by this is, you'll be safe from being mutakabbir, mustakbir. Being a person who indiscriminately says to the white and the black, the old and the young, who you know, you don't know, salamu alaikum, salamu alaikum, salamu alaikum. That will make you an individual who will be humble. There are a number of irshadat, tawjihat. Rasulullah gave us advice to break kibr, to break a heart that's qasi. He gave us a lot of things to do. Touch the head of an orphan. So this salams will make you be a person who calms down. This salams, ikhwani, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked his companions, هَلْ أُدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ فِي مَا بَيْنَ أَنفُسِكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا هُوْ قَالْ إِفْشُ السَّلَامِ بَيْنَكُمْ. He swore by Allah in the beginning of the hadith, none of you will enter the Jannah until you believe, and none of you will believe until you love one another. So I'm sitting here with my color. A person has a problem in the audience with my color, and I have a problem with your color. And I hate you as a result. You hate me as a, I hate you because of your jama'at. You don't like me because of mine. You won't enter into Jannah until you love each other. Should I not tell you something you can do that will cause you to love each other? They say, yes, what is it? He says, spread the salams between yourselves. So the salams between ourselves, ikhwani, is something that helps develop al-muhabba and unity. But the du'at, people are giving dawah, they use the salam as a weapon against the Muslim. So here's a person who's takfiri, straight up takfiri. He doesn't give salams to people of the ummah because they're kuffar. I don't give salams to the Muslims. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tabdu al-yuhud wa la al-nasara bis-salam. Don't give salams to kuffar, Jews and Christians. Kuffar, no salams to my family, relatives, people in the street. And then we have the people, the ghulat of a tabdi' ma'a shuyukhihim, with their shuyukh and their students here in the West. Don't give them salams. Don't give them salams. Don't go to this masjid. Mubtadi. Don't give them salams. Is supposed to be used as a da'i to make people love each other. And as the teacher and the imam, I'm using it to make division, to be divisive, And I have the nerve and the audacity to stand up on the minbar and to say, Salafiyah and Salafi? Salaf wa nana? Now, it is a fact that Abu Bakr Umar Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a fact that he used the salams to make ta'deeb of people, get you back in order. The three people didn't go to the jihad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the battle of Tabuk, he didn't give them salams. The Hajar of the Mubtadi', that is something that the Salaf used. Rasulullah used that. But they use it in the right way. If a person is of the belief that if you don't pray, you are kafir. Even if you are lazy, you believe praying is wajib, and you don't pray, some people believe you are kafir. Ulama said that. A riwayah, position of al-Imam Ahmed, that was one of his positions. There's a dalil for that. Al-ahdu ladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah. Man tarakaha faqad kafir. Whoever doesn't pray is a kafir. So that person doesn't give salams to people because he believes you are non-Muslim. We're not talking about that. He really believes you are kafir. He's his ijtihad. Scholars took that position. If he doesn't give salams to people, I'm not blaming him because he believes that. Yataqarrabu ila Allah with that understanding. This is his deen. No problem. What I'm talking about is I don't like him and he doesn't like what we have with Sheikh Rabi and all of this stuff. I don't like him. You don't like him. Don't speak to him. Don't go to Green Lane. Don't go over it. And it's just hawa. So the da'i, what are you calling to? We saw the ayat of the Quran saying, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلٍ مِمَّنْ دَعَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. His da'wah is to Allah. His da'wah is to Allah. اُدْعُ إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Call to the way of your Lord. Not to yourself and your madhab and your group and your sheikh and your country. My da'wah, I'm going to come and superimpose on my host country. I'm African American. I'm going to go to my people in America and give them da'wah, and I'm going to superimpose on them Saudi Arabia. Everything with Saudi Arabia is what is for them. And what's wrong with that kind of understanding? For the da'i, and what is this da'wah? The ulama, only Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is the khilafah. Saudi Arabia is it. So I can talk about the hukam of any country, the Taliban. I could talk bad about them right now. But if you talk about Saudi Arabia, you're from the Khawarij? No. The meaning of assalamu alaikum, assalam, is a dua. That akhi, may Allah protect you from me and harm. And may Allah protect you from all harm. It's a dua. It's a dua for amen, for the Muslims. Al-istiqrar. Now, the Taliban, and I don't want to make this personal or political, the Taliban have a history in the past, problematic. They did some things that are not nice. But now that they are in charge, shouldn't we be happy as Muslims that after 40 years of drama and war, over a million people have lost their lives, innocent women and children? Life is tough. Now they come into power. This is the government. So as Muslims, we don't make khuruj against those people with our tongues or with our swords, except with conditions. So if anything, be quiet. Don't regurgitate old tweets of Rabi al-Madkhali, Ubayd al-Jabri, old tweets from 10 years ago, and put it for right now. Because as we see right now with the Taliban, the people are talking and giving interviews, it seems like they're trying to, like they understand. We can't come at the world with this hardcore, closed mindset because the world doesn't work like that. You cannot live in this world by yourself. You're going to have to mix with people who are Muslims and non-Muslims in my community in Leeds. Where I walk home from home to the masjid, I have to pass a center called the Mandela Center. So you got an idea whose community the Mandela Center is in, right? It's in the Afro-Caribbean community. So when we walk, we have to pass these people who are sitting at the center to direct people into the center for the COVID jabs and tests. So some of the people work there, women who are lesbians, men who are gay. That's their job. So as we're walking down and walking from the masjid, we say to those people, hey, how you doing? I want to thank you guys for what you do for the community. Me, along with my children, along with Shabab, that I teach, is that us buying into lesbianism, LGBT? No. No. Because now they're asking, why is it more people around here on Friday? What are you guys doing? When can we come? It's da'wah. Now, we could take the other approach, walk by them and close our eyes and put our... No. You do what you think is best for you, but the point here is, we want emin, security for the Muslims. So now we make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal that he shows the Muslims a miracle in the Taliban. The Taliban, the Aqidah, the Minhaj, what they did in the past, a problem. But we're hoping and we're praying to Allah that Allah will show this ummah. If you people change what you are doing, the wrong things, Allah will bless you. And then there's another thing. What Muslim in his right mind doesn't have happiness after seeing the condition of the Muslim world? Everybody here, you grew up, and our ummah has been in confusion. We know everybody here, especially you youngsters, you know nothing except daf. Our ummah is weak. We've been colonized, brainwashed. Now the Afghanis kick those people out. After all of these years, how in the world we're not going to be happy that non-Muslims get kicked out of our countries? Who's not happy about that? That's part of a salamu alaikum. So I just don't understand how we give each other salams, but while giving the salams at the same time, we steal, we cheat, we rob, we lie, tadlis, al-kadhib, al-iftira. He said this. He's with Jam'iyyah Ihya al-Turaf. You're a liar. You're just lying to make the people be against your enemy. It's not even true what you're saying. And even if it was true, what you and how you're doing is not right. So with salam, don't use what the Salaf used to do out of context. Yes, the Salaf used to not give salams to innovators. But which innovators? Everybody was an innovator? Because as I said in this audience, your mothers and fathers have innovations. Yarmi, khatam. Rasulullah, he knows the ilm al-ghayb. So you're going to stop talking to your mothers and fathers? Is that what the Salaf want from you, this religion they understood? Some of our African brothers have relatives who do shirk and magic in the way they understand the religion. So we're going to say, the Salaf said, cut your fathers and your mothers off. No. You have to have fiqh, how to do it, when to do it. Who's an imam of innovation? Who's an imam of kufr? And who's just a miskeen person who doesn't know from the awam? You know my position with the Rafid of Iran and Iraq is that some of the scholars, Ibn Baz, other than them, they make takfir of them. I don't make takfir of the awam. I make takfir of Khomeini and people like that. Wala karama, bidun ay taraddud. I make takfir of him because he makes takdeeb of the kitab, what Allah established in the Quran, what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And anybody who believes with knowledge that the wife of the Prophet ﷺ is a zani, a baghia, anybody who believes that the companions irtaddu, except 10, you outside of this religion, if you know what you're talking about. But the awam, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. Relative in Africa, he goes to the oracle. The oracle. The oracle is the witch doctor. He gets some bones, and he throws the bones and decides, should I get married? Should I travel? That's kufr, what he did. My relative in Africa, that's kufr. But I'm not putting him outside the religion. He can't read, he can't write. He doesn't know his elbow from his ankle bone. He's like the Bedouin. No, the Salaf said, no. So this salam, ikhwani, it has a lot of ahkam. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said about himself, Ana Sayyidu Bani Adam wa la fakhr. I am the master of Adam's children. I'm the best of you. I'm the best. And yet, listen, these salams has a lot of ahkam and a lot of adab. We're not going to go through all of that. But these are the things we should be teaching our community. These basic things, eating with the right hand and drinking with the right hand, as opposed to all these radood and kalam farik between your sheikh and his enemies. African American, my community, we became Salafi in the 80s. We lost a generation. Our children left the Dawah, left Islam, left the Sunnah, whole generation, while we're fighting each other. Whole generation gone. Because the du'at of this Dawah are using the Dawah as a weapon, engaging my kid and your kids. And they become enemies with each other. Stop practicing. What kind of stuff is that? So teach the people the basics of the religion. So the majority, they give salams to the minority. The one who's riding gives salams to the one who's walking. The one who's walking, the Prophet said, gives salams to the one who is sitting. The younger one gives salams to the one who was older. Rasulullah used to give salams. He used to give it to the women, give it to the children, give it to those he knew, those he didn't know. And he was started off. So some people say, Ya Rasulullah, who should start the salams off? Who's the best one? That's after he made the tartib. The majority give it to the minority. The younger give it to the older. He told us, you know, but that's mustahab. But he used to initiate it. So when they asked him, who is the best? Who? He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, awla bihim, awla huma billah. The one who gives the salam is the best one from them. So although I'm younger, although I'm older, I give the salams first. Although we are the majority, we'll give salams to the minority. Although the one who is riding should give the salam first, the walker does it first because he wants to be the best. He wants to be on the right side and safal awwal. Alul himma. Not just enough. I'm just going to do just enough. No, get here first and get on the right side of the saf. But if you want to stick to the system, then learn who gives it to what and so. But Rasulullah was always showing us. Now I'm giving dawah. I come into the masjid and I'm walking like this and people give me salams. They don't know if I returned it or not because you owe me. I'm the malvi. I'm the imam. I'm the untouchable. I'm the connection between you and the sheikh. I even heard one of these brothers threatening my African-American Masakin brothers with the mentality of Jesus Christ still in us, white Jesus Christ at that. At least let him be a black Jesus Christ, at least. No, but we are the type of people who have self-hatred. Plantation. I ain't not no plantation no more. But Tawheed and Al-Ubudiyya for Allah freed me from that stuff. Worshipping a man, a sheikh. What's wrong with you? As it relates to the salams, Ikhwani, a lot of things can be said, but we want to go because we have a lot to do, inshallah. But from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, haqqul muslim ala muslims, is six, idha laqitahu aw idha laqiyahu. Inda liqa, the salams is when you meet people. That's the salam, based upon the fiqh of this hadith. The salams, if we get into the fiqh of it, and this is what I'm telling you, if we spent time getting the fiqh about these issues, reading Al-Imam al-Bukhari's book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, reading Al-Imam al-Nawawi's book, Riyadu al-Salihin, reading Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi's book, Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, how was the teach the community this stuff. As for these radud of your shayukh, it's confusion. This sheikh refuted that sheikh, and one of their sheikhs, who he likes him, and they all refuted each other, and they all like it, and it's confusion. So even if you wanted to be on that madness, it's confusion. It's confusion, wallahi. So teach the people the basics of the salams, fiqh of salams. The salams is when you meet. So I come into the masjid, and I come in, I say, salamu alaikum. Whoever gives it, hears it, no problem. When it's time to give the salam, the dars, I don't say assalamu alaikum because it's not the time. We're not meeting. It's when you meet. And even if that meeting were to yatakarrar, the Prophet taught the people. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا لَقِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ فَسَّلَّمْ عَلَيْهِ وَنْ حَالَتْ بَيْنَهُمَا شَجْرَةٌ فَيُعِيدُ السَّلَامِ. If you're walking, the companion says, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. They start walking. And if they were split by a tree and they came and met again, salamu alaikum wa alaikum salam, because of the khair, of the kalima. What, you think Rasulullah just wants us to waste our time? We only split for, you know, 2 meters like COVID, just 2 meters. Yeah, but it's the weight of the kalima, as-salam, and what it means in our religion. That's why we're spending more time on it here. If you're sitting in the masjid, we come in, salamu alaykum, wa alaykum salam, you get up. Rasulullah told us, when you get up and leave, say salam again. He said, wa laysa al-ula bi ahaq min al-akhirah. The first salams of meeting doesn't have more rights than the one when you leave. And the one of leaving has been lost. We don't practice that well. Okay, you get up, you go. Salaamu alaikum, you go. Now I come over and I meet you in the car park in Morrison's because you didn't leave yet. When I meet you again, I salaamu alaikum, wa alaikum salaam. That's our religion. What, to waste time? Now there's no wasting time. This issue is important. It develops muhabba and respect and connection and community. But when you turn away from people and you don't like people, now that creates karahiyya and baghda and adawa, animosity. We hate each other. And now it's to a point, I gotta be honest. If I see an older person with a green hat, brelby, whatever, I'll open the door, give them salams, uncle, sahab, la la, sahab, this, that. But there's some people who have the look of these hardcore gulat of tabdi' with the short thobes, that's from the sunnah, looking mad, like vukhu waisira. I don't give salams because I've given salams trying to be the better one and I've been disrespected by kids. I'm walking with my wife on Coventry Road by the Lord of the Kaaba. I'm walking with my wife and there was one of them who came to this masjid from Reading. And he had a rough life. And then he became a Muslim. We found him. This masjid helped him. And I don't mean this from the angle of al-mannu. I want to make a point. Helped him for about a year and a half. He found his way over there to those brothers, those ghulat. And then he changed. Okay, that's your business. I'm walking with my wife, man. I'm walking my wife on Coventry Road. He was coming towards us with a bike. He went like, and spit in front of me and my wife. I'm 35 years older than this kid. Can you imagine that? And I'm with my wife. And he spit towards me and my wife. Because he's been taught and educated. This is how the Salaf were. Go figure. Concerning the issue of the Islam as well, Ikhwani, we know that if someone says salamu alaikum to the whole group, then only one person, if they salam back, then the whole group is, you know, exonerated. But don't be like that. Everybody give the salams back, especially during this time. I'm giving dawah, a dawah with du'at, a du'at with dawah. So the call, inshallah, azwajal, is to use and utilize this to undo this hatred that we have. And a lot can be said. A lot can be said. Do we give salam to the Yahud in America, African Americans, in my community? My sister, who's not a Muslim, my mother, they say to me, salamu alaikum. That's what my mother and my sister say. My family members, African Americans who come from where I come from, they had ihtikak and ikhtilat with the Muslims. So they know our language. You'll find a lot non-Muslim name the child Fatima. They want to say Fatima. They call her Fatima. Malik, Malik, Kofar from African Americans because they've been around us. So can I give them salams back? Now is not the time to get in all of them details, but wallahi, he has a da'i, du'at. We should busy our community with ilm that is beneficial. This kalam, Sheikh Rabi says, Sheikh, that's kalam farigh. We move on to the next one, inshallah, azwajal, ikhwani, and that is, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if your brother invites you, you should answer the da'wah. Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's what he did. He gave salams, and when people invited him, what happened? It's too many hadith. He was invited. He came to the people's house, knocked on a door, told the people, get to the side. When you knock on people's door, don't stand in front of the door, so if the door opened accidentally, my little man, Sheba, he comes and runs, he opened the door. His sister's running behind him to stop him. He opens the door. My daughter, 13, 14, no hijab, is seen by the people who didn't mean it. Knock on the door, get to the side. Teaching people the etiquette. And he used to knock easy with the fingers. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The man opened up the door. Rasulullah said, da'awtani wa taba'ani hadha. You invited me, and he followed me. He was with me. I was coming, and he just kept coming with me. You didn't invite him. Meaning, it's up to you. If you want to let him come in, he can come in. But if you want him to go, he has to go. So the Prophet answered the invitation and taught us what to do. You can't be a party crasher. They call it tufuli. A tufuli. Or a tufeli. A tufeli. They were the people back in Jahiliyyah. Anytime they hear it was a party or dinner, they said, let's go to eat food for free. In Islam, I'm getting ready to go to a party and you're with me. I shouldn't just take you to the man's walima unless I know he's not going to have a problem with that. But the sunnah is, once you get there and you're going to give him the money as a gift, you're going to shake his hand, you're going to let him know you're there, you're going to tell him, look, man, you invited me, but he came. And if he says, welcome, which they usually will, he comes in. But maybe the one who invited you is a person who's been oppressed by that person. He doesn't want him in his party. So the point is, Rasulullah came. He was in the people's home, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The host brought him the milk to the left of Rasulullah with companions, to the right of Rasulullah with companions. He drank it first and went to the right. To his right was a young boy, and to his left, Abu Bakr. Another hadith said, Khalid ibn Walid. Rasulullah, at the invitation, said to the young boy, you're on my right, and you have the most right. But to my left is who's bigger than you. Ithar. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. I'm going to give it. No. No. Nobody over you. Maybe if it was going in the door, I let him in. Maybe. But drinking after you? Nobody. He taught us that. Invitation. He did it. So I'm giving dawah. I never go to the invitation. Never. No. I think I told you, no, that was in Leeds. During the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, a real good friend of mine, he's a professional, he had a walima for his son. And it was for wealthy people here. Wealthy people, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. He said, call me on the phone. My son is going to get married. Can you come and give a kalima? I said, sure. I'll come. When I went, it was one of the expensive places, probably the biggest expensive. All of the cars, Bentleys, you know, Mercedes. What's those ones with the zeros on them, the chains? The Audis, Range Rovers. I'm talking about, they had wheels out there. The whole parking lot was like, wow, mashallah. I ain't no hater. I ain't gonna lie to you. If I could get one of those cars and keep my deen and be balanced, I love it. I go in there, the place was beautiful. But when it was time, the boy and the girl came in and they were singing, here comes the bride. I said, the hijab was a problem. Mixing, it was all of that. I never saw a wedding here like that from the rich people from Pakistan. And this is not to put Pakistan down, but that you know how some of those weddings are. They were throwing flowers on the boy and the girl. The hijab, it was a problem. Now I'm sitting here and I'm saying to myself, okay, I'm the da'i. The du'at and the dawah. Now, there are examples of the Quran. وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعَدُوا مَعْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. If you hear the ayat of Allah being played with in disbelief, don't sit there, get up and go. Salaf used to come to the invitation, and if they saw munkar, they would leave. So, do I leave now? Yeah, I could leave. But will they hear the kalima? Will they hear the dawah? What about the religious people with good hijab and the relatives who are practicing and they're hoping for someone to speak on their behalf? And another thing, what about the nice Mirpuri food that I can eat if I stay? Although that's not the main, you know. They have that stuff, I love it. It's called sagh. Oh, I love the spinach, sagh. What about that? I gotta miss out on that? So I'm thinking, man, how I'm gonna do this. If I go and I blast them, I'll be dissing my friend who helped me tremendously. I'll be dissing him. embarrassing him. And the people won't hear. So I talked about the dua that Rasulullah used to say to the husband and the wife after getting married, and expounded on that dua. Barakallahu lakuma wa barakallahu fikuma wa jama'allahu baynukuma fi khair. What does that mean? Allah bring you together, put the blessings. But you're going to get that when you wear hijab, when you have tawheed, and just talk like that. And when I finish, only 7 minutes. When I finish, those people were clapping. Now I had to decide, do I tell them we shouldn't clap or not? But this is what happens. This is the reality of our community. You think everything is going to be perfect? No. The guy at the door is going to be homosexual. Akramakum Allah. The lady at the other door is going to be a lesbian. The other one at the other door is going to be a Sikh. The other one other... So in that issue, as a caller, I have to weigh the issue. So concerning the invitation that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, very quickly, the scholar of Islam said, when people invite you, it's their haq that you come. It's mustahab, mustahab. So if someone invites you for coffee, tea, it's mustahab. They invite you for breakfast, for lunch, dinner, mustahab. But the scholars have ikhtilaf. If the person invites you for a nikah, for urs, the jumhur said it's wajib. You have to go. Because Prophet Muhammad said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anyone gets invited to a wedding, you have to go. And if you go and you're fasting, then eat if you want, or don't eat if you don't want. Another hadith said, eat if you want, and if you don't want to eat, then pray. Make dua for them. So now, understand that. If it is a wedding and your relative, someone invite, it is wajib to go to the majority of the ulama for the wedding, because the hadith said that, specified. If two things are absent, number one, if there's no munkar, you go to the wedding, and at the wedding, you find at the wedding is our ASAP Rocky and our the little baby going to be there. Some of the famous singers from Ghana are going to be there. Famous singers from Pakistan going to be there. And they're going to get into that stuff. No, don't go. There's munkar there. They're doing wine there. Don't go. Even if it's for the urs. The other thing is, as long as you're not going to get hurt, you should go. No darar. What's the hurt? Well, the wedding is tomorrow on Tuesday. I have to work. It's wajib for me to go. If I go, I'm losing my job. No, I don't have to go. So as a da'i, person giving da'wah to Allah, you got to go to the weddings, man. You have to go to the da'wahs. The people who are doing things, they have lunch and dinner and this and that, and they invite you, go. Keep the people's hearts together. Give the people love for your da'wah, because you're mixing with them, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-mu'min ya'lifu yu'lafu la khayra fi man la ya'lifu la yu'laf. That's how the belief is. We come to the third one, ikhwani. What time is the adhan for Maghrib, inshallah? Al-Isha, what time is it? Okay, so we have inshallah. So the next one is al-Nasiha. Last week we did a dinu nasiha. We ain't going to go through all of that, inshallah. And we explain what nasiha means. And it means al-Ikhlas, purity. Idha nasahu lillahi wa rasulihi. La junaha. It's no problem on them. You're sick, you're this, you don't have the money to make jihad. Then you have to have nasiha to Allah and His Messenger. Ikhlas to Allah. Ikhlas to the Book of Allah. Ikhlas to the Sunnah, to the Nabi. And you have to give nasiha to the Muslims. We did that already. The companions would give the bay'ah that they would give nasiha to every Muslim. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained all of that. So I'm giving da'wah. What is nasiha? If istansahu, he comes to me as the imam and he wants to know this, this, that. I have to give him nasiha as the imam. The same thing that I want for myself, I want from him. So now the imam, from my background where I grew up, this thing that we're dealing with, these guys hijacked our dawah, them and their sheikhs, this political nonsense, that I'm against it. They hijacked it. And people are running around hating each other on the same da'wah and hating Muslims who may not be on that da'wah, but they don't deserve to be hated. SubhanAllah. He comes and he asks me a question. Can I take knowledge from Khalid Green or Collard Greens? Can I take knowledge from Collard Greens? Now, I don't know about collard greens, like you guys don't know collard greens, but you may know Khalid Green. He asked me that. And I say no, because he's friends with Abu Usama. Are you serious? And the man has something to support and to give your children in our community. A brother is posting things and translating things that are beneficial. He's giving, like my brother Abu Taymiyyah, giving beneficial khutbas. I would advise you guys to go back to the khutbah that that brother gave 2 weeks ago that is called TikTok Black Hearts. I had TikTok on my phone as a thing. I got it off. My wife talked to me about it. She said, man, get this off of your phone. She had a discussion with my kids. Took it off. Abu Taymiyyah. TikTok Black Hearts. Two Fridays ago. No, can't listen to that, you and your children, because why? Why? He's a Hizbi. Why is he Hizbi? Because he doesn't follow us. So the people are going to be boxed out from the benefit? From your advice? That's advice, ya akhi. This is a problem. Wallahi, our condition, it causes one to cry, causes the heart to bleed, to bleed. What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these people and their sheikhs? What's wrong with them? But I'm trying to tell you, brothers, especially my African-American brothers and sisters, when I chose this class, one of the reasons why I keep referring to this problem, because someone may say, man, he has a uqda, he's always right. No, part of choosing this class was to try to deal with this, wake my people up. This Dao has jammed us up. The Nation of Islam, the Black Panthers, all those people, they didn't have the right formula. Salafi is the right formula when we do it the right way. But look what has happened to us. We got taken off of the path, and we still have du'at who are trying to feed us the Kool-Aid of Jim Jones of Guyana. Jim Jones in Guyana. I'm not talking about Jim Jones, the rapper from Dipset. Jim Jones from Guyana giving us cyanide and killing us and our babies, and we're watching it and administering the drug ourselves. No. The invitation, make the people close to you and mix with the people. I can't call the masjid over there Masjid al-Dirar. Masjid al-Dirar, ya akhi. How do you ever expect our dawah to make change in that masjid? And if this is how we're saying, everyone who disagrees with us, Masjid al-Dirar. Nah. After that, the Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in terms of nasiha. You remember the hadith where the qissatul ifk, where they accused our mother Aisha of having a relationship, a'udhu billah, when she was traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because her and the man came into Medina, and the munafiqeen said she's having a relationship. Rasulullah went to Ali ibn Abi Talib and Usama ibn Zayd and asked them, Istansahuma, what do you think about what he asked them? He would ask Abu Bakr and Umar sometimes, nasiha. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِنْ عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Ya Muhammad, if you were rough and tough with them, they would have run away from you. If you were rough and tough, they would have left, dispersed. So overlook and forgive them. And ask Allah to forgive them. And ask them, mushawara, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think about this? I'm the da'i. I have to ask the people, man. People of Leeds brought me there. I have to ask them, what do you guys think? What do you think? Do you think I should give the topic about this? What do you think? I can't go in and I start putting everything down. We have du'at who destroyed our community, put us and made us backwards, where a person who's from outside of us, if he's qualified and competent, no problem. But he's outside of us. He comes from a different people. Right? Ahlu Mecca adra bi sha'abiha. The people of Mecca know their situation better. We understand each other. The Sheikh comes and puts someone over us. Not we chose him. The Sheikh said he's the oldest one. He's not even the oldest. We have brothers more older than him. Those brothers gave him da'wah. He came to the da'wah. He wasn't even practicing. Soccer player, pizza man. Nothing wrong with that. Some of us dealt drugs. We were killing people. Some all kind of stuff. I don't have a problem. You weren't practicing, but the Sheikh ain't telling the truth. He's not the oldest, nor is he the most knowledgeable. But the brothers just take that, and then that person comes and says, listen to this. Instead of the individual giving the siha, he sits and says, and if you, I'm going to get the Sheikh on you. I'm going to tell the Sheikh on you. And then people are scared. What happened to us, man? I want to ask my African-American brothers. I want to ask. You brothers, we are brothers and sisters. We're not perfect, but we are the byproduct of the strongest people who were taken in the slave trade. The ones who were weak and sick, they died and got thrown overboard. The ones who made it were their daughters and sons, great-great-granddaughters and sons. How do you sit there and lose your mind and someone comes and tells you, I'm going to get the Sheikh on you and tell it, and everybody's scared. So like the Prophet said to Umar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَمُتَهَوِّكُنْ أَنْتَ يَا بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ Ya Umar, are you weak now? In Jahiliyyah, you were strong. And now this thing that you're doing right now indicates you're weak. You don't have to take anything from the Yahud. So the nasiha, ikhwani, du'at, you all given da'wah. Nasiha should be the right of a Muslim. Advise him the way you want to be advised. Don't blow his back out. Don't lie on him. Don't advise him in a crazy way. He went on to mention, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about sneezing. From his rights is, if he sneezes and says, alhamdulillah, then you should say, yarhamukullah. Concerning the sneezing, again, the Prophet taught us this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sneezing is a rahmah. Rasulullah said, Allah loves the sneeze and he hates the yawn. Because when you yawn, it's a sign you ate too much. It's a sign you're kaslan. It's a sign of khumul. And the Muslim is the one who is nasheed. Khairukum is who? The one who is doing stuff. It's never the one who's just sitting down. He learned the Quran and he taught the Quran. That's the thing. Khairukum anfa'akum linnas. The one who brings benefit. Al-mu'min al-qawi. Khairu wa habbu ila Allah. Because he can fight, defend, work, sadaqah. He has money. He's not a bum. He's a bum. Nothing to offer. He's a bum. Nah. The believer is doing stuff. So as it relates to the issue of sneezing, it's a ni'mah. Sneezing, the tashmit. Tashmit means remembering Allah and thanking Allah. And our mother Aisha said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kana yathkurullaha ala kulli ahyanihi. He used to mention Allah in all of his situations, all of his conditions. Alladhina yathkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim yatafakkarun fi khalqi as-samawati wal-ard. The believers, they remember Allah walking, standing up, laying down, sitting down, all conditions. He's about to have relationships with his wife, akramakum Allah. He remembers Allah. All of his conditions. And one of those conditions, sneezing. So the one who sneezes says, alhamdulillah. Now listen to this. The da'i, haq of the Muslim. Prophet Muhammad was sitting with the people. Two men sneeze. The leader sneezed, achu. And he didn't say, alhamdulillah. A poor man sneezed, said, achu. Alhamdulillah. Rasulullah said, yarhamakullah. The people who were under the leader said, oh, he sneezed. Like, this is the man. What, he sneezed. Rasulullah said, he did the right thing and he didn't. Look how the Prophet is showing us. Everybody is equal in our religion. Your money doesn't make you better than him if you don't work by the religion. That's the giving da'wah, teaching people. At-tasfiya wa tarbiyah. With the da'wah now, the du'at have been given a pass. They do certain things, they are given a pass. Let the regular Amr, Bakr, Zayd, the sister, do the same thing. They get excommunicated. They get boycotted. They get ostracized. Let the du'at fall into the same thing or worse. Prophet Muhammad wasn't like that. So concerning this issue, ikhwani, of sneezing, I want to say when it comes to the issue of like sneezing, the da'i and every Muslim should feel sneezing is a ni'mah. Even the Christians, when they sneeze, they say, God bless you. Maybe this is one of the things that was from their religion that's in our religion as well. They say, hallelujah. Maybe that's subhanallah, I don't know. But this is the way of the people of the religion. Sulaiman Ibrahim. Sulaiman and his father Dawood. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'matika allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya. Oh Allah, give me the ability to make shukr of the ni'mah that you gave me. Sulaiman, charge of the jinn, the animals, the ants. Ni'mah. So that's what sneezing is. Allah gave you a ni'mah to sneeze. So the sunnah is, if you sneeze and you say alhamdulillah, then the person says, yarhamakallah. And then the one who sneezes says, yahdikumullah wa yuslihu badakum. Now, pay attention. I don't want to get deep into this, but number one, the best thing is to say alhamdulillah after sneezing. But there's an authentic hadith that says, if one of you sneezes, you should say alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. That's authentic. And there's a third narration that has ikhtilaf in it. Ikhtilaf. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Some of our shuyukh al-Albani said that that's authentic. Other people says Hassan. I see it as being weak, but if you want to do it, you do it. The third one, bain a bain. What about adding on to that? There was a man with Abdullah bin Umar sitting next to him. The man sneezed and he said, Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulillah. Abdullah bin Umar said, hey, I also say wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulillah, but the Prophet didn't teach us that. So stop where the text stopped. Don't be adding on. So I want to say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, maghfiratuhu wa ihsanuhu wa karamatuhu, and I just keep going? No, all he said was, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. That's the most he started off with, ibtida'in. And the most you can respond to that is, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, maghfiratuhu. You go back and you read the book of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, about these things. So we don't go overboard. The Yahud was sitting and they started to sneeze just so Rasulullah can give them dua. So they were yata'atasun, achoo, achoo. They wasn't really sneezing. And then they would say, alhamdulillah. Rasulullah would say, yahdikumullah, yahdikumullah. Allah guide you people. We ain't giving you nothing. And unfortunately today, because of the da'af of the Muslim, the non-Muslim will sneeze, zukam will come out of his nose, and will run to it and wipe it off and tell him, afwan sayyidi. That's our situation today. Concerning the issue of sneezing, ikhwani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with a man, and the man sneezed, acho, alhamdulillah. Sneezed again, acho, alhamdulillah. Third time he said, acho. Gave him the fourth time he sneezed, Rasulullah said, Ar-rajul maskum, that man is sick. He has a cold. That's why he keeps sneezing. Some scholars said, if that happens, and he sneezed four times, you should say, Anta maskum. That's the sunnah, because Prophet Muhammad, you got a cold, man. Now, Prophet Muhammad didn't say man. You know what I'm talking about. You got a cold, man. You sick. You got pneumonia. You got COVID. No, COVID is not, sneezing is not a thing of COVID, right? You can't smell, you can't taste, you can't tie. May Allah protect us from the COVID, man. But most of the people who explained this hadith said, no, you don't say the man is sick or you're sick. Rasulullah said that so the people would know the illah. The people would know the reason why you shouldn't say anything the fourth time. Because he's a cold. So he doesn't have to say anything and you don't have to say anything. You don't have to say you're sick, anything like that. Last thing that I want to mention about the sneezing is that concerning the sneezing is that some of the companions, some of them, Anas ibn Malik sneezed and they added on to that. And it's authentic. But I'm not going to go through that because we want you to stick with what's easy. Do the sunnah. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. We go to the next one, ikhwani, almost done, number five, bi'idhnillah, is that if he becomes sick, you go and visit him. The dahi goes and visits him. The Prophet, especially, he's your relative. What's the visit? The visit is, what's the sickness? The sickness is, someone is in the masjid and he's sick now. This hadith is not talking about him. The hadith is talking about the one who's not in the masjid. He went missing. You don't see him around. So from his haq is you go to his house, to the hospital, and you ask him, what's going on? How you doing? What's going on? Especially if he's your relative. Especially if you hope for him Islam. Rasulullah went to the house of the Jewish boy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to take care of him. Because he knew the boy wanted Islam coming close. And he was giving him dawah, accept Islam. The boy looked at his father. The father said, obey Abu al-Qasim, Rasulullah. The boy accepted Islam. Rasulullah said, alhamdulillah, who saved him from the hellfire. Visited the boy who was a kafir, Yahudi. Giving dawah. I went to the hospital in London. My boy had Muawiyah, Mau Mau. I call him Mau Mau, short for Muawiyah, because of the Mau Mau of Kenya, the way they deal with some people. Well, my boy, don't be a person who gets colonized in your mind. He got his appendix taken out. But they took him to the theater. When I got there, about eight other kids in the room. I just went in the room because I'm the dai. I want to show these people, we're not crazy. We're not terrorists. I'm not a Wahhabi wobbler. I hate Rasulullah. I'm not a wobbler. And I'm not scared to tell you I'm not a wobbler. So I go in there trying to be, and I don't say this because I'm better. I'm just sharing with you. It's my job. I go in there, went to each bed. Oh, just clam. Muslims, kufa. When I got there to the Jewish lady, no love. She gave me no love. I'm not going to make hajum on her. Just leave her and go to the rest of the people. So now the Muslims in there say, yeah, that guy came in, he was African-American, he's a black guy. So maybe all black people are not criminals because they thought that. Maybe all wobblers are not, and so forth and so on. We go and we visit the sick people. That's what the Prophet did. His grandfather was dying. His uncle was dying. He went to him to give him dawah before he died. Say, La ilaha illallah. Kalimatun. Uhajjullah biha. Yawm al-qiyamah. I'll use it for your, with Allah. Just say it. So how do you feel? Brother, subhanAllah. One of my best friends, Ikhwani. His name is Ismail Barnaby. I came to this country, to Birmingham from London. I was in London first, long time. I came to Birmingham. Ismail Barnaby was my man. My man. Rahmatullah Ali. He died very recently, a few months ago. This was my man. I mean, my brother. This dawah of this craziness, this madness, made him break away from me because I'm an enemy. When he got sick, I couldn't even think about going to visit the brother. Because if I go and visit him, people will be around him maybe. It'll be a fitna. He himself, I just don't even go. That's how it is. And many of the brothers who are old school, Usama Deen, his brother, Black Adred, our older brothers, they know what I'm talking about. Abu Ismail, Haider, Harun, these older brothers, Imran Ma'asum, people who we knew from a long time ago. Whenever we had a conference at Green Lane, whenever we have a conference in Leicester, we have a conference in London, Manchester, we were going all over the country supporting each other, and the dawah was on the heart of one man. And then the Don Corleone Minhaj got introduced. You better say what I say, I'm going to get you. If you don't say, no, Sheikh, miss us with that in our dawah. So as it relates to the issue of visiting people, it's the responsibility, Ikhwani, of the people who are giving dawah to Allah to go to those places and make dua for them. You're the one who knows what to do. His family, I'm in Leeds, Ikhwani. I know there's magic in Birmingham, but I never was exposed to as much magic that I'm exposed to in Leeds. Taweez everywhere, all kind of stuff. So the family doesn't know. So in the house, the way they're dealing with the sick, they're talking about soccer games, TikTok. The person is sick, but you're the da'i. You're going to go and you're going to put your hand on him and say, Allahumma rabbi nas, idhhab al-ba's, anta shafi, ishfihi, la shifa, illa shifa'uka. You're going to say that. You're going to show the people. You're going to make dua for him. His relatives think that you have some special powers because they have ihsan in the malvi, in the imam. Don't take advantage of them. Show them. How do you think they're going to feel you came out of your way? But the da'i, if he has no interest, he ain't going. If it ain't his homie, one of the inside crew, core crew, he ain't going. He doesn't see every Friday, I'm going to go to the hospital. That should be part of your responsibility. Go into the hospital. When people are about to die, it should be the people on the sunnah who are ready to go to the hospital to give the support to the family. Those are the critical times that make people appreciate your da'wah and where you're coming from. Critical time. But instead, what do we do? He's sick, and the salaf didn't visit the sick innovators. The salaf didn't visit the sick innovators. They didn't go to their weddings. They didn't give them salams. You're taking a hadith that shows us the haqooq of the Muslim, and you're destroying them all with your warped understanding. Now, I say, understand what the salaf did in its proper context and place. Al-fatawa tataghayyir min makanin ila makan wa min makanin min zaman ila zaman. Gonna give me a fatwa of what Sheikh Ubay said about the Taliban 10 years ago and then make it relevant right now? You know what you're making the Sheikh look like? You're making him look like he's from the Khawarij because they are in charge, so he should keep his mouth shut. Number two, you're making the Sheikh look incompetent. And you're making him look and appear as if he doesn't have sensibility and sensitivity to the Muslims and their plight. Saying those things about the Taliban now when they're trying? What's wrong with the brothers? My brothers from America, Masjid al-Rahma, for the ones who are uqala. I'm not talking about the people who have sickness. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about my people. And secondarily to the people here, but my people in America. African-American brothers and sisters. You guys have to wake up and smell the coffee, Folgers, Maxwell House, whatever you, but hold these people to account. These people are jamming up our da'wah and our lives of our babies. Everybody's gonna make mistakes, but get off the okey-doke stuff. Stuck on stupid with this da'wah. Lastly, ikhwati fillah, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he dies, then you should visit him. You should follow him. You should follow him. The Prophet used to go to the janazas. And when he was sitting at the janazah, he used to take a stick and he would just mess with the stick in the dirt. And then he would look up, as he used to do all the time. Because Allah, he's teaching them, is above the seven heavens. He would look up all the time, teaching the people. And then he would say to the people, ask a thabat for your brother because he's being questioned right now. The person is dying, Rasulullah would go and educate them. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kuntu qad nahaytukum an ziyarati al-qubur fazuruha fa innaha tudhakkirukum bil-akhirah. I used to stop you from going to the graves at the beginning of Islam, but I'm telling you, go now. It'll remind you of the akhirah. You know what? Some of us suffer from hearts that are dead, hard hearts. You want to soften your heart? Go to the grave more. For no reason, just go to the grave. No janazah, you just went to the grave between Dhuhr and Asr. Just to look in that place, because just being there is going to help you. Salafi people, we need to just go to the graves, man. But the imam, the da'i, never going, because there's nothing in it for him. You go to the grave, the people are ready to listen to your da'wah. They just lost a loved one. His relatives are at the grave. You're going to talk about death. Tawheed. It's the inevitable. All of us are going to taste it. You give da'wah to his people. That's our sunnah. That's our religion. But I'm not going to his grave. I'm not going to the janazah. What are you talking about? Soften your hearts and take advantage of the issue of the janazah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to take these as opportunities to educate the people. A lot more could be said, ikhwani, walakinna نكتفي بهذا القدر سائلين الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا وإياكم لكل ما يحب ويرضى. I want to say this very clearly. Very clearly. I bite my tongue for no one. I don't want to be disrespectful to any of the scholars and people older than me. No. And I don't want to put people down. And I don't want to open up doors where I'm a fitna for people. But till when? Till when? Till when? Till when? Are the people who are running the dawah in America, especially in here, but I'm more concerned with my American, African-American brothers and sisters. Until when? We're going to let this nonsense rule the day. We need a change of the guard. We need new blood, new understanding. People need to make Toba from that stuff, that warped understanding that you have. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make it easy for us and easy for you. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله